Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is January the 15th. Someone has some background noise. If you can just press star, that's great. Today we're going to talk about goal setting and goal realization and also answer your questions. About it, you can always ask questions about any topic, you know, the clients that you have, coaching that you're doing, marketing or business. You know, these calls, the main purpose is to, to answer your questions and to connect with you, create our great community here. And thanks for your flexibility changing the call from last Thursday to today. And so that worked out well. So Happy New Year, everyone. And then our next call will be, well, let's do it next week, next because it's the fourth Thursday of the month, will be January 24th. So, yeah, that'll be great. So, yeah, just wanted to check in with everyone. I know, got Pam on the phone who's in California. Yeah, and you just went back to Vermont to do a workshop with your soccer players. Is that right? Hi, Pam, are you there? Or maybe press star 6 in case you're...
Now I'm here. I was on mute, so you couldn't hear my dogs barking.
Oh, okay.
I got back yesterday and worked with second weekend with all the teams, and we were working present focus all weekend, and it was great. So it's really a good bunch of kids, so it still is great fun.
Oh, great. You have the soccer team?
Yeah, and then I watched them practice, too, and, was on the field with them a little bit. So that's really fun to get to see them in action as well as see them kind of, you know, at the classroom setting kind of that we're doing it in.
Uh-huh.
So got both. So.
In high school age or what age group?
Age 10 all the way through high school, so 10 to 18. So I'm pretty much just teaching. And, you know, they're doing practice things for hour and a half of all the mental skills training, so skills and talking and teaching. And then they have homework that they're supposed to practice on, because I'm going once a month. So, like, between last time and this time, I had them practice just lots of different breathing skills, and then we talked about what worked, what didn't work, and now they're going to work on present focus.
Great, yeah. So you're going through kind of like the three P's of your Performing Edge,
Pardon?
You're working on the different chapters in your Performing Edge book.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. They're flying you back to.
Flying me back once a month. So.
Yeah, and hiring you to do the mental skills training for a weekend sort of thing, a Saturday 2-day workshop for one day.
Saturday, well, I do three teams, half and half. So many teams on Saturday and so many teams on Sunday, so I'm working like 4 to 5 hours each day. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, it sounds like they're really happy with, they're making good progress.
And the kid, you know, the feedback that the coach is getting from the kids there is useful. So, and the feedback that they gave me of just practicing the breathing and more awareness with, you know, how to do relaxation breathing and get ready to get them energized and or calmed down, whichever they need, is that they're finding it to be helpful. So,
yeah, that's
so
great.
Good.
Part of the time just talking and then part of the time doing exercises.
Yeah.
That's great. That's wonderful.
So it's good. Yeah, it's been great so far, and I can't imagine why it's not going to continue to be good for all of us. So it's good.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, it's great to see these Performing Edge principles and using them in practice here, and yeah, really getting the word out there. Into play right out of the soccer field. So that's great. Yeah. Yeah, and Rob, how are you doing? Are you did you have any questions, or did you want to check in and see what you're doing?
Yeah, I've got a lot of things happening. I was out in Riverside at Great Oak High School.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And the girls won state for cross country there. They were ranked as high as number 2 in the country.
Wow.
And so I was assisting there with a really phenomenal program. And then I moved back to Orange County, and I just got back from the Olympic Training Center. I was there for a week down in Chula Vista for the IAAF Academy. So I was there for a week and came back home, and then I landed the head coaching position at Mission Viejo High School for cross country and the lead distance or endurance coach for track. So started all that, had a really fresh group, started, thank you, goal setting and things like that. And I actually applied, and I started last week my PSYD, my doctorate for applied sports psychology. So it's like a 3-year course. So hopefully time flies because it's a lot of work already. So doing that, and then just...
What's at what school?
It's at Wexford University. It's a new program they just started. So thought I would just try it out, see how it goes.
Yeah.
At the time.
Online or...
Hey, Rob, I am in Orange County also. This is Pam Dunlock, and I'm living in Orange County, too. So.
Okay. Where at? Where about?
So, I'm in Corona Del Mar.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So
I'm in Rancho Santa Margarita.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah. So I would love to... Maybe we can trade phone numbers or something and talk to you, because I'm trying to get my business up and going in this area more, because I moved here from Vermont in August. So.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, we should connect.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good high school programs in that area, too, like Bill Sumner and things like that. So I'm just trying to connect with a lot of the Olympic caliber, like John Rankin's down in that area as well. So.
So I would love to get some names and connections from you so that I can. So well, I got my website up and going, and now mine is just a matter of marketing out here. So.
Yeah. No, definitely. That would be great.
Okay, that sounds good.
Good.
Yeah. So, that's great that you guys are both in the same area. And congratulations on getting your that head coaching position. At what school is that?
Wexford University. It's it just started this year. So, I mean, it's for the first class, so I'm going to test it out.
That's
most of
the head coaching position?
Oh, no, head coaching positions at Mission Viejo High School.
Okay. Mission Viejo?
Mission Viejo, yeah. You know, mostly known for Julie Foudy for soccer, the Nadadors for swimming, all those Olympians, and then football, obviously high school football. Mark Sanchez went there, so it's a really... It's huge for football. Actually, all the sports. I mean, we do well in all the sports. Great academics. It's really great. I went there, so that's where I went to high school. So just kind of going back. It's been a while since I've been here.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
That's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Great. And Amy, you had a question, and can you want to tell us what you're doing in Pennsylvania there with your athletes?
Okay, sure. Dr. Joanne, I just wanted to mention this. For some reason, your voice is a lot lower in volume than everyone else's on the phone. I can barely hear you, and I can hear everyone else really well.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's true on my phone also.
Oh, okay. Let me see here.
Maybe it's the volume.
If I turn this up, does that help a little
that
bit?
That sounds better.
Oh, thank you for telling me. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. So is that good now?
Yeah, that sounds better, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I've got this new sort of box telephone interface I was working with here. That's good to always give me feedback about that. I should always ask about the sound, make sure you can hear okay. That sounds good. So, tell me you can share with us what you're doing with your athletes, Amy. And
okay. One of the things that I'm doing is I'm working fairly closely with a very nice tennis club, and they're making me a part of their program. They have a fitness trainer, and they have all their pros. And so they're incorporating me into their program there, where I do mental training skills, and we're offering a course a 4-week class for the kids starting the end of January. That's the first thing. I did their summer camp last summer. And they also want to create something where they put a more personal program together so that they will bring in the tennis pro, the fitness trainer, the mental training skills person, and the student and the parent, and have kind of a, you know, meeting of the minds to discuss how they're doing, how they're progressing. So I think it's really good that they're creating a program like that. They don't have anything, and so I'm happy about that. So I'm getting quite a bit of work from that, and also they're giving me some really nice clients. I have a bunch of 14, 15-year-old tennis players that I'm working with now from them. So that's one thing. And then the big thing that I'm working on is creating this program at the ballet. And I have a meeting next week with the artistic director, and he said that he got really good feedback from our last workshop, and he wants me to get involved with the professional ballet and their school. So I don't know what that means exactly. So we're going to meet next week to talk about how we can get something, you know, really put some kind of program together for them because they don't have anything. So that's really my
school.
I did something at Haverford College with the field hockey team, and that went really well, but they're having a little bit of a funding issue, so I didn't have a lot of other feedback from coaches wanting to do it because they were having to pay for it with their fundraising money and they weren't that interested. So I'm trying to think of a way that I can get that going. You know, I may have to offer something like a complimentary workshop for a bunch of different teams and just see if I can generate some interest that way. I mean, the workshop went really well and the coach is trying to promote me, but there just is not a lot of funding.
So the tennis program is where the tennis program is a private.
So there's something at a tennis club, and then the Haverford College is a really great small private college around here. But they don't have a lot of funding for this kind of thing. So I mean, I really would love to be able to make more things happen there. So I'm thinking that I might have to just offer a mass workshop with several different teams, do it complimentary, and then see, at least get more exposure to other athletes and other coaches, and then see what happens.
Yeah, because what you can do is if you do a workshop and have the parents come, parents and the kids, and then you know, offer your services or have a, you know, complimentary, you know, 15-minute session with a few of the students, and that's a way to get private clients, you know, because Haverford College, I think you said it's a private college, right? And so to go there is probably expensive, and meaning the parents have to be of a higher income to, you know, afford to have their kids go there, so they could, you can probably afford to, you know, pay you individually as a to work with their individual students, you know, their kids themselves. So you can think of it that way. If I'm trying to work with getting parents to hire you individually, if that would work.
But see, the parents, most of the parents aren't around.
Oh yeah, they're because they're from other areas.
Yeah, it'd be hard to get a lot of parents. I mean, I could. So you mean offer a few short sessions with some of the athletes to see if they'd be interested in working with me and offer a couple minutes with some.
Yeah, and then they could, as a sample session, and then the students, if they're interested, they can usually talk to their parents, you know, ask the parents to, you know, to fund their your sessions with you. Because you know, parents are usually very supportive of kids and their sports programs. So even if
that's
the
a good idea.
Especially if the kids are struggling, the parents will support. Will support
help. Yeah, that's a good idea to offer some like sample sessions with some of them.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but the main thing is just to get back in there and not have a closed door because of the finance.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, did you have a
The question that I emailed to you was, one of the things that I'm finding with these teenagers who are tennis players and competing in tournaments is that a lot of them have this mentality of, you know, kind of that fixed mindset of, I have to win, and I get they get very nervous because they fear that they're not, what if they don't win? And so I'm really trying to find a way to change their belief systems about themselves so that they can go more to that growth mindset of work on the process, you know, the journey, your effort, how prepared you are. But it's not an easy task with some of these kids who have been wired this way for a long time, and it's such an individual, you know, one-on-one competitive sport to get them to think like that. And so that was my question, to come up with maybe different strategies, or if you had any experiences with athletes that you've been able to see a shift in their mentality about the sport instead of it being so, you know, I have to win.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that is really common with many athletes that they feel like it's the gold medal or nothing, or winning the championship.
Right.
And so if they're not winning, they only have that one mindset, so they're devastated. Or if things aren't going their way, they panic and don't have a plan B. And I think if you can, one thing I do with athletes is to have them, create different scenarios and think of all the different things, the outcomes that could happen, and say, of course, you want, the best possible outcome for everything to go your way and to things to work well, and to win would be great, but that only happens some of the time, and so you need the best athletes, always use, I use examples of the, champion athletes and best athletes are prepared for anything that can happen. So you want to have, let's go through the different possible scenarios of what could happen and then try to create a plan for getting through each one successfully. So, let's say plan A, go through maybe at least three plans, plan A, B, and C. Plan A would be, everything does go well, and that one is usually easy to get through because people are, it's easy to imagine, everything going well and winning. And then go to a plan B. Let's say things aren't going quite as well. See if with plan B, let's say you start out getting a few points in tennis, and then the other person's gets ahead of you or something. What can you say to yourself, and kind of go through maybe like the three P's of your performing edge? What could you visualize? Visualize yourself getting stronger inside, or being able to figure out their, what strategies they're using, and come up with counter moves to be able to score higher than them, or power words. What can you say to yourself? I'm keeping my focus. I'm strong. I'm only one point down. I can get back easily. Those kind of things, come up with, say, five different power words that they could say to themselves to get through the negative thoughts, whereas the negative thoughts they're probably thinking are, oh, my gosh, this person's better than me, or they've always beaten me, or they're if I don't win, I'm a loser, all that kind of stuff, and you want to turn that around to, you know, those positive thoughts. And then you could also, with present focus, you could say, have them say to themselves, okay, how can I be right in this moment, not worrying about how the mistake I made of the last point, how I screwed up, and what's going to happen in the next point, but just you know, just be in this, say to yourself, okay, just this serve, just this play, just this moment, and
okay.
It's totally in the moment right then. So that can help with a plan B, let's say, to get to be able to handle, you know, when things aren't going so well, and then say maybe a plan C is or a scenario C would be, let's say the weather is really bad, it's you know, really windy or something, and that person never plays well in the wind, and being able to handle that and saying to yourself, okay, the wind's my friend, we're out here dealing with the same weather, both me and my opponent, this is a good chance, you know, the windier it gets, the harder I play, and you know, being able to see yourself, and then actually go through a visualization with each of those scenarios with the person, you know, plan A, and or scenario A, scenario B, and see if they can actually see themselves getting through each situation, and being able to maybe, like, let's say they're down in the first set or whatever, and you know, still being able to manage that, and say, okay, well, how can I move back up? And then also another scenario, well, just being able to, you know, athletes, like you say, it's tough. They don't want to deal with the possibility of not winning. But let's say they get second place or something. You know, being able to see, you know, going through that, like that chapter in the book, Learning and Losing, in section 5 of the Your Performing Edge book. You know, going through that and asking yourself, okay, what lessons did I learn here? What's the next step? What's the learning here? How can I keep moving forward? And usually, and athletes, that we learn more usually by failure. We learn a lot more about ourselves through failure than we do through succeeding. It gives you a chance to really dig down deep and get even stronger inside. Does that kind of make sense?
Mm-hmm. A lot of sense.
Amy, yeah. So those are some ideas, yeah, the different scenarios that they could go through. And then, you know, it's like think of it as if you can help athletes see it as a win. If they win, then that's great. They can celebrate. If they lose, then it's, okay, I get a chance to learn here. I get a chance to learn a whole lot about how to keep moving forward and what to do next and how to get my, work on my swing, work on my serve, work on my weak points, because usually when you're losing, the other team has found your weak points, or the other person's found your, what it is that you need to work on, and so you can say, okay, here, I gotta, work on these weak points so I can, next time, the next won't be able to take me over with those kinds of things. So, hopefully that helps a little bit, Amy?
Yes, that does help. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think in helping athletes to see, in that chapter with losing and learning, there's a lot of really good things, points in that chapter about how to take a loss and turn it into a win, and to succeed, be able to help athletes understand that success comes in many ways, one of which is winning, and to be able to say, okay, how are the different, ask your athlete, okay, how are the different ways that I can succeed or can celebrate success? They could name, 5 or 10 different ways during the game, look at their, at their effort level, at their form, at their positioning, and their how they came back in the middle and, you know, were able to focus. You know, there's so many different ways that all the mental things that we talk about, the confidence, you know, could succeed in all those different areas. I mean, you could have the best game of your life and still end up losing the game, but winning in terms of your performance, right?
Right.
Because you're
okay. That's a good idea. I'll look that chapter over again.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. So let's go to. Yeah, that was a great question, Amy, and feel free to email anytime you've got questions, all of you. So let's talk about the goals, and I want to first talk about my goal setting for you as coaches, and then secondly for your goals setting, helping your athletes to set goals as well, because if you're a good goal setter and for yourself, then it that will help you be a good role model for your coaches here. I'll put this on mute here for a moment so we can get a good recording and just take out the background sounds. Pam, it sounds like your dogs are participating too. That's good. But that's fine. So I'll put this on mute here just for now while we're talking. Then I'll open up the lines in a moment for questions too. So I wanted to first tell you that goals, just overall, our goals really provide direction to us for our training and our life and for our professional life. And we have tremendous resources in our bodies and our minds, and if we can tap into those resources by setting goals for ourselves and passionately pursuing those, especially in this 2013, the new year, I think this is a great time to set new goals and set a new direction for ourselves. And I think goals are really essential for making consistent progress in anything that we're doing. And goals provide the direction, and they remind us where we're going and how we plan to get there. And the goals that we set really give shape to our passions, our dreams, our aspirations, and they help us set priorities and work within a set time frame. And so once you have your goals set up, then your mind can focus on achieving them despite any obstacles that might arise. You've got your goal right there out in front of you. I remember when I was working with, Ingrid Christensen, she set a world record in the marathon many years ago, and her competition was Joan Benoit Samuelson. And Ingrid Christensen, she was up in Norway, and she would, very extremely cold, and she would do all of her marathon training on the treadmill because she couldn't run outside in the, so cold in Norway in the wintertime. And so imagine her doing marathon training on a treadmill, inside. And she had a poster of Joan Benoit Samuelson, her competition, right in front of her on the wall, a huge poster. And so that was her goal to beat Joan or to be able to compete with her. With Joan Benoit, who had got the gold medal, first Olympic gold medal in the marathon, and so I think that is an example of how you having a goal right out in front of you. That's about as dramatic example, putting a picture of something that you want to achieve right there and seeing it every day. And so you can do the same thing with your goals as a coach, as a performing edge coach, and as a professional. And so some of the things I wanted to talk about, usually, when we set goals, they don't, or those intentions, they don't last very long. And most people, the first of the year, we set goals or resolutions, but they don't last past a few weeks or so. And so I'd like to, help you make 2013 different and better. And things that I wanted to talk about is focusing tips, how to really focus on your figure out what it is that you want to achieve. So one of the things that one question that someone asked me is, what are your best focusing tips that you consistently caused you to increase your revenue as a coach? You know, that's one of the important questions for us, increasing our revenue as coaches, and how to have different focusing tips. So I developed some of those for you that I wanted to share with you, kind of a few steps. And first step is identifying and knowing what your revenue generating activities are, what kinds of things will help you to make an income, a good income as coach, and what it is that, you know, some things are short term and some things, you know, are going to benefit you long term. Usually things like just checking email first thing in the morning, or spending a lot of time on Facebook or Twitter, those aren't things that are going to be revenue generating activities, unless it's just responding to an important email, from a client. But ask yourself, what are your highest revenue generating activities? What are they for you? For example, for me, they might be, sending out an email that talks about, giving a example, a sample of what I do as a coach, writing, doing a video on YouTube that where I talk about my coaching, writing an article, a blog that with my on my website that talks about the services I provide, or questions different athletes have, that gets indexed by Google very quickly, and so people see the article and they can then call me wanting to find out about my services. And so answering phone calls and talking to parents who call, who are interested in me working with their clients, those are all, what I consider high revenue generating activities. Speaking, arranging speaking engagements, so I could go and demonstrate to a group of people that what the kinds of things that I do, with workshops. Writing a book or a short book that that could sell, that people then buy that and then ask about my coaching services. So those are all kind of examples of different activities that you could do to to generate revenue for you. And so you want to ask yourself, I'll just ask you right now, write down, just for a moment, what are your highest revenue generating activities? What are they for you? And then for a little bit, I can ask you, we can go around and each person can share what those are. So once you have those revenue generating activities, then you want to schedule blocks of time for those. I call them RGAs, revenue generating activities, kind of like RDA, but RDA of vitamins, doing your RGAs, your revenue generating activities. So most people feel like, they're working hard all day, checking email or watching other people's emails come through and reading those, getting kind of too involved in other things, and you might be tired or feel like you really worked hard, but sometimes you can go through an entire day and never do one revenue generating activity. And so you want to ask yourself, how much time did I spend with my revenue generating activities, my RGAs? You want to think of it as like having one per day, at least 1 hour per day at least, doing that sort of thing, and then at first, and then you can after a while, you know, get to where you're doing 4 or 5 hours a day of that, and you want to block out that time. Say if it's writing something, writing an article, or maybe developing a speech, a workshop, you know, being able to have the time to really develop that material, or using the workbook materials I've sent you that I'm developing, you know, being able to use those and then customize it for your own audience. That's a good thing. And then be able to have a routine, a really healthy routine is the next step. Being able to work out your day so that you have, you spend the most productive time in that real focused time for you. For most people, that's morning time. Or some people are morning people, some are afternoon, some are evening people, where you have, the most mental energy. And so figure out what time is that for you. Are you best in the morning or midday or evening? And then what you want to do is write out 3 goals for that next day. At nighttime, write out 3 things that you want to achieve for the next day, because the mind, works in groups of 3s much more efficiently. And then you, as you go to bed that night, take a moment and get into the present. Take a do centering technique, and just like we have our athletes do, you want to practice this for yourself. Visualize those 3 goals for the next day, and practice the 3 P's doing those 3 goals. So see it, say it, do it. Do your positive images, and power words, and present focus around those 3 goals. So let's say you want to, you've got a new client in the morning, and you want to do a really good job with that first session. So you might visualize being really focused for the client, being ready for them, and visualize the session going really well, and that you're a really good listener, and that you're able to take in all that they have to say, both verbally and non-verbally. Maybe the first session's with with a high school kid and their parent. So you're listening, able to listen to both the parent, what the parent's saying, and what the student, what the child is saying, what their needs are, and you can also assess their relationship and how they talk to each other, and all those things you're able to visualize real clearly, and see yourself being able to give good feedback to the to your client and be really responsive to their needs. And kind of see the details of what's going on, really dig in deep to what the situation is that they need help with, and also be able to see the big picture, stand back and see the bigger picture of what it is that they can achieve, and really give them a sense of hope, and see what their potential is, and be able to say, wow, you've really got a huge potential in this area. Being able to see that whole thing and create a really good first session, because that usually determines whether people will continue with you or not. Gives you a much better chance of a client continuing when you have that. Really put a lot of energy into that first session. Think of it like a rocket taking off. It takes a lot more energy to get that rocket off the ground and do that first push. And then after that, it's you can float and coast a lot easier. So if you in that first session you're doing an assessment, and you're also creating a good relationship and building a rapport, and then you're also doing coaching and giving them tips along the way, so that they're not just asking them questions, but you're giving them really good advice. And then you're also marketing and telling them what you can do for them overall in the future, and giving them the big picture of what you can do. Maybe lay out 8 sessions or 10 sessions or 12 session plan for them so that they want to invest in you for those full number of sessions. So that's an example of, you know, visualizing, you know, let's say having a, what you do with your client, really get into a visualization of what the perfect, you know, the great session for you, or also visualize different scenarios if they have lots of questions or aren't sure about certain things, you know, how you'd handle tough questions and see yourself being able to be really clear-minded so that you can handle anything that comes up. If you can see all the different scenarios, just like we were talking about before with your athletes, seeing the, all the possible scenarios, then you'll be prepared, have a plan for getting through each one successfully and be able to handle anything that comes up. So you do the first P and then do the second P, power words, and actually, you know, give yourself some positive statements, power words around that goal of, you know, becoming a better coach every day, or I'm a confident coach. I can handle any situation that comes up, and actually saying those things to yourself. If you say them out loud, I think that really helps, and say each power word a couple of times, then it reinforces it. So say those actually to yourself right before you go to sleep at night, so you're visualizing it and then you're saying it. And then the third one, present focus. You know, be right on, right here, right now. Just be right there. The more you can be in the situation, bringing all five senses into it, and continuing with your deep breathing, then the more you'll be able to really be there in that situation, visualize it, mentally rehearse it, so you're so crystal clear about exactly what it is that you want to happen. It's like you've been through it 100 times in your mind. Then as you go to sleep at night, your subconscious mind will be working on it for the next 8 hours. And the next day, as you, you know, when you see that client, it's almost like a deja vu, like you're already there, you've rehearsed it, and you're so confident because your mind knows exactly what to do. You've gone over it many times. And so it's much more likely that your goals, those three goals for the next day, will turn out exactly, or, you know, very close to what you have visualized. So do that for the first goal and the second goal, the third goal, and then, or if you only have time to do that for process for one goal, that's okay too. If you have one big goal, that's fine. And then the next morning, so you do that the night before, and then the next morning, I do the same thing. I think to go through that quick visualization, the three P's around your goals, your three goals, and see them happening again, reinforcing it in the morning. And then, you know, I'll often do it like while I get up and I do a few floor exercises for a half hour. And while I'm doing those exercises, I'm actually doing my visualization. So you can actually be doing two things at once. You can be working out your body and working out your mind, you know, as you're or going for a walk. You could do that or go for a short run. And while you're working out, do your visualization. See, you know, like let's say if you're working with a client, you're going to be having that first session, visualize exactly the way you want it to go. And usually when you have that left-right motion of walking, you know, left and right, alternating left and right sides. You know, as we've talked about before, research has shown that neurological research shows that any kind of a continuous left-right motion helps synchronize the left and right sides of the brain. So, so that your helps you think creatively, more focus better. Dog is going crazy. Put that in the lecture mode there. There we go. So you want to visualize the night before, and then visualize during the day your three goals, and then be able to have that healthy balance throughout the day, so that you are. you're able to do those, your highest revenue generating activities, and have your highest ones first, you know, the things that are that are going to have the best chance of, say, bringing you in new clients, you know, and the things that require the most focus, I'd say do those things first so that you, you know, can really put your energy in where you need it the most. Because you want to be able to, you know, energy is, you want to be able to protect your energy. Oftentimes if you get up in the morning, the first thing we're doing is checking email, and you get a depressing email or some something's not going right. You know, we get thrown off base and we end up, you know, spending the whole day on something we hadn't planned on. You know, it kind of throws off your plan of being able to really get into your focus time. So you want to be able to protect that energy. And just sit down and do that. Say, let's say if you're going to get up and do 1 hour of total focus, your revenue generating hour, before you check your email, before you do anything else, do that first. But I think you know, you want to be able to start your day with something that takes good care of yourself first, like exercise, walk, visualization. Or it could be, that visualization could be some self-improvement reading or an audio or video. It could be, you know, if you're going through the modules in this course, it can be, you know, going through one of the modules and to better your education and yourself and getting that groundedness first. So take good care of yourself first. And what I do is, like, drink some V8 juice in the morning, some kind of, make sure that you get hydrated in some way. And then, or depending on if you, what your schedule is, if you eat breakfast first, do that so that you get some good energy coming in. And then go ahead and do that 1 hour of total focus where you're doing your revenue generating hour. And maybe that's you know, writing something, developing a video, developing an article. Could be a consult call that turns into you know, a client. And then what you want to do is in between, after you finish that hour, take a smart, what I call smart break. Maybe go for a short walk, do that left-right movement, clear your mind, which synchronizes the brain. And then if you have time, go into a second, you know, revenue-generating hour and do do another focused hour of something, if you can, without interruption. So don't do email in between, don't do any web browsing or other phone calls, but just say, okay, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to write this, you know, write this article without interruption. Let's say you'll be amazed at what you can get done, and you can do your highest leverage goal first. So something that's going to really gives you the most bang for your buck, and you can get more done in that hour than most people get done in a day once you really plan on that, protecting your focus. So I wanted to. So that's a bit about my formula, and I wanted to just open up the lines a little bit and share, or have you share with me any questions that you have, and what your let me know what's your kind of top revenue generating activities. Also, I wanted to say that it's good to break up the year by quarters, so that you, you know, this first quarter, like the first three months, say, okay, what's my main goal for these first 3 months? And then what's my goal for the next 3 months, as opposed to a whole year? That way you've got, like, one project per quarter that works really well for for getting goals done. So let me open up the lines here and just ask you what questions you have and what are your main goal, like what's your main goal for this first quarter and your main revenue generating activities that you'd like to, that you want to work on. Yeah, maybe Pam or Amy, you guys want to share?
Well, my first goal is to market myself in my area, and the area that I'm living in now is to reach out, and I've done a little bit of it, to reach out to high schools and to local colleges, and I suppose health clubs, just to let them know what my new business is out here.
Okay, great. Yeah. So how do you plan to reach out to them?
Well, letters, emails, and then I have this like a postcard that I'm going to start sending out to call it to schools, to the athletic trainers and or coaches, to let them know my services are here or I'm local.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, that sounds good. And let them know, you know, what you do, maybe a particular your coaching services, and then you could offer to give them a talk maybe too.
And that also, yeah. And there's a I went to the senior center, which is close to me, that has a really nice fitness center, and talked to the director there, and they have can't think of the name of it, but like a fair, kind of like a college fair, but a fair for what services are available to seniors, which is an active population around here. And so I'm going to do a booth at that. That's not till May or June, I think. So it's down the line, but I talked to them about doing that also.
Okay, great.
Figure all the senior citizens around here have children and grandchildren who are probably involved in sports, so can pass the word that way.
That's right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, everyone knows, you figure what each person knows, and 100 other people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good. And you can, yeah, your website's great. You can give them that and maybe direct them to a particular thing on your website, quiz or an article that you have.
Yes.
That'll be great, yeah. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, Rob, are you there? I was just asking each person about what your sort of goals are, what your goal is for the first quarter here and of the year, and the highest revenue generating activities.
Yeah, I think my goals have kind of changed just because of the move. But it's just getting more awareness. I'm kind of in that pickle again where in the past it was, you know, now if I'm coaching a team locally, let's, how do I expand my business to other high school athletes without, you know, having any issues with my own athletes, I guess, in a sense. But with that said, really what I'm looking to do on the other side of things is create a directory for athletics for, athletes, student athletes to find, you know, a variety of types of coaches. So that was, I mean, you know, I currently work for a position that deals with cosmetic surgery, and our website ranks, you know, number one or number three on Google we get for liposuction. So it's a huge, huge moneymaker. And so for me, it's like going back to doing that, finding, I want to create a directory specific to what I like, which is athletics, to kind of mimic what we've been doing there.
Uh-huh.
You know, again, you know, it's a lot of it's the ranking, but I think it's a good way to get awareness for athletes to find, you know, one of the things, when I came back from the Olympic Training Center, everyone's looking for an edge. World-class
mm-hmm.
athletes are looking for an edge, you know, and a lot of it is on the physical side. It's biomechanics and obviously it's psychology. But people are still not really, it doesn't seem like they're all buying into the psychology portion of it, because and I think it's the approach. To me, really, what I try to profess with my kids now is there's two things you can control in competition. And those two things is your attitude and your effort, which ties into everything that's in your book, you know. So you can under those two umbrellas, it's your attitude. So regardless of the situation, how are you going to deal with it? And obviously, attitude has a big component to that. And then your effort. And those two kind of affect each other, but those are the two things that you can really work on. So regardless of where you're at, if you're down in the match or you're down in the race, it's still attitude and effort, because anything can happen. It's the end of a match or a race. We see things change, and a lot of it is because of, you know, the athlete's attitude and effort. And then the other two components, too, is, you know, it is relaxation and concentration. You know, how do you relax in those tense moments? And then concentration is almost really – concentration to me is really how do you get rid of all the bad thoughts in your head? Concentration is almost like having the ability to have a blank mind at that moment, because if you do all the visualization, remember, it's one, we want it automatic. So sometimes thinking gets in the way. So concentration is almost that thought of shutting the thinking down so you can do what you've been trained to do, so it's an automatic response.
Right.
And so to me, I think a lot of it is it's approaching it that way. So I don't know. It's just a lot of it, A, is marketing, which is obviously psychology. But then getting younger kids to kind of get that understanding. I mean, my first meeting with my kids was, I told them I all wanted them to be perfect. They all looked at me kind of strange. But understand that you cannot be perfect. So I said, when the sky meets the ground, what do we call that? It's everyone says the horizon. I said, okay. So that is perfection. I want you to chase it. But you're never going to get it. You're never going to get there. But chase it. Keep chasing it. And so that is, again, the attitude and the effort and understanding those different things. So it's a lot, you know, kids always want to win, but again, you got to define winning. And you made a great point. If you have the most perfect game, but you don't win, does that mean you're really lost?
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
For me, I think a lot of my goals is, from a business standpoint, it's completely changed because I wanted to create that, but to me, I still think if I can get this awareness and create a directory and then get the word out. So if you wanted to look for a sports psychologist or a mental trainer I don't know, what do people do? I mean, first, I haven't really thought about that before. But I think, what do you do now? And I think it's getting the marketing out there for that. And then having a directory or a resource so you can find, because again, some people may want to come in and sit down and speak, and some may want to do the phone conversation thing. I was amazed that when I came back from the Olympic Training Center, there are so many coaches that coach online, you know, we always thought coaching was, you know, a coach standing at the start or finish line with a stopwatch, and that's not the case anymore. And with technology, there's so many cool things you can do. I mean, for example, for me to communicate what I want to communicate with the kids now, I did the classroom thing, and I'm not kidding. I got in the 15 minutes into it, and I saw their heads go down. So I was like, okay, so a little too long, because that's what they do all day. They get lectures from other teachers. But what I'm going to be doing now is putting up my own website, and there's going to be a login section. But, you know, I'm going to communicate with the kids via text, via email, via video. So they may not listen to me in practice, but if their homework is to check in, and they may watch a 3-minute video and get more out of it because now they're in a situation or an environment where they're willing to do, and that's what they do all the time anyway. So I'm sitting there giving these cues. Yeah, it's a little, and you know, we got to use, depending on who our market is, my market is going to be high school athletes, maybe even younger athletes than that. It all depends on how open the parents are. And most of the kids today, their parents are around my age, and most of them are pretty open anyway about a lot of these things and technology because they're involved with it. So I think it's just finding that right market and then marketing to them appropriately and communicating with them properly. Because with my high school kids, that's what I'm going to do. Is I figured that I'm talking to them, and I don't know how many, you know, some of them are grasping it and some aren't. I mean, I had 60 kids out there. I said, email me your information. I had 5 kids do it. And they all knew. So it's like, okay, so they didn't do what they're supposed to do. I only got 5 out of 60. So I got to find a different solution. Text me, you know, give me your phone number so I can text you. And I'm sure I'd get a higher response if I text them for them to text me their email address. So,
right, because that's what they're all doing is texting,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you can get some good cues. And, you know, what's really cool texting is you can put a link, click on, you know, get a text, and you click on the link, and it takes you to wherever you want them to go. And it's just really funny. I mean, I used to be anti-text. And I was like, well, if you have to say something, you just call me. Well, now I text all the time. I don't even pick up my phone. So it's another really cool way to communicate, and depending on the people you're working with, whoever your market is. Yeah, so I'm trying to piece that together because I've kind of – I understand how, you know, SEO works. I understand web design. I mean, I got all that just from the last 3 years of experience I've been working with. And now I'm trying to put all that together for something that I really enjoy. And I think
Great. Yeah, that's
you know, putting that, I think, would be good. And then, you know, there's always cross-marketing, cross-advertising, things like that, so it can generate some revenue.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds like a good plan, Rob. And it's great that you had the experience going to the Olympic Training Center and all, too.
Yeah.
You know, just being able to put that on your resume and, you know, having experience there is always good, too. So just probably all these things going on there, especially since you're near there.
Well, yeah, because I always, you know, what I do is the way I prop myself up from being everybody else is I always tell them, I go, well, I'm mentored by Dr. Joanne Dalton. That's fine.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's good to, that can help too, yeah. For sure. So good. Amy, are you there? Still there too?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to have to leave in about 2 minutes because I have an appointment at 2:30.
You want to just say what your goals are and...
Sure. My goals are to really pinpoint the areas that interest me the most. So instead of just working with lots of different clubs and going to lots of different schools, to really do some research and identify in a more specific way, where do I want to be? What are the places, you know, what are some of the other colleges, the bigger colleges that I would like to work with? And then, you know, make my action plan and find out who the contacts would be. And that's kind of what I'm doing now. I'm researching other bigger universities so that I want to be in a college campus. I love working with college kids. So that's, I think that's probably the carrot that's dangling in front of me, that and the ballet.
Yeah, great. Okay. So, yeah, write down the big universities that you want to be associated with and then, yeah, research who you might know there or go there and just see. And you could go online and see the different people's names and, yeah, you can just call people up. And
yeah, that's what I did. I mean, there's Villanova University is a very good school, and I did the mental training skills. The tennis club is involved with them. That's where we did it. And so I went online and printed off all the coaches, which is really easy. You know, now I have all their information. So that will be my next plan is to start emailing some of these coaches and telling them about my services and seeing if I can come up with some people that could connect me that's involved there more instead of just going in cold.
Yeah, right. Yeah, if you can get a particular contact, that really helps. Sometimes someone that you work out with at a gym or a, you know the tennis club where you are now. If anybody's connected with universities, one name can lead you to another for sure. And you're
So that's really what I'm working on and balancing everything else that I have going on.
Great, yeah, and I know Amy, you're really good with marketing and. All three of you Amy, you speak very well, and Yeah, your website's great, and so I think that all speaks really well to your that you have great presence, and people can really have confidence in you. I think so. Yeah. So great. Thanks for sharing that. And I wish all of you. We'll talk more next week on the January the 24th, that Thursday. Happy New Year again. And great. Keep working on your goals. Keep writing them down. And then we'll talk more next week. Congratulations on all of you and all the progress that you're making. Yeah, Pam, with your Vermont soccer, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Rob.
Pam, what's your website?
Thanks, Dr. Joanne. I've got to run. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye now.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
It's Pam at PamGunlock.com. So it's PamGunlach.com. And my business is called Head Coach.
Oh, that's cool.
Great. Okay, so good. You guys can be in touch since you're in the same area. That's fantastic. It's good that you can network.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I'd love to meet up with you sometime.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you have a good week. And.
All right. We'll talk
Thank
next
you.
Week.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Okay. Bye now.